So today we'll talk about a distributed interactive system. So last time when we did the first class, I talked about collaborative virtual environment. So this one is a slightly different topic. It's more really on the technical side about distributed virtual environment. And we will like try to understand how we can make the connection between several simulation and manage the interaction for different user that will want to work together in a distributed virtual environment. So we will really go on the technical aspect of distributed virtual environment and why we include this class into the CSCW class. It's of course because it's linked to virtual reality and collaboration virtuality, but also because it's redundant for all CSCW applications to have to distribute data, to synchronize data, to have users that will modify data on one hand and that will receive update on the other hand, and this kind of thing. And because we found all this technical aspect in all CSCW applications, that's why we include this class about distributed virtual environments. So the requirements that we will find for each CSCW application are always about network architecture, how we connect the computer together, how we manage the data distribution, among all these computers, and how we manage the concurrent access of several users, because if several users want to modify some data at the same time, of course you have some issues, because you need to give priority or to find a way to manage the conflict that can occur when you will try to modify several data at the same time. So collaborative virtual environment is a very good example, so that's why we pick it for talking about these technical aspects, because it has some really strong requirement. So the user need to interact in real time. So when they want to move an object, we want that the object follows, that they are able to move the object easily in the virtual environment. And it's much more complicated than just having a synchronized cursor in Google Doc, for example, because here you can have a bit of delay. But here, if when you move an object, it's very slow, it's very annoying. And also, immersion requires fast sensory multi-feedback, so you need to have a good visual cues of what the other is doing and all these things. And because it has very strong requirements, a lot of solutions have been developed in research in the past to try to overcome all the technical issues. Because as you understand, synchronizing some virtual environment is not easy, and you have to like put a lot of effort to have a proper solution. As a quick reminder, so collaborative virtual environment enable several users to work or have fun together in a virtual environment. So it's what we saw last time. So the image is like several people traveling together in a virtual environment. That's not very important, so that's okay, I think. We saw last time that you can have two kinds of collaboration in a virtual environment. So you can have co-located collaboration, where you have several users that are inside the same device or inside the same room, and remote collaboration. So today we'll focus mainly on remote collaboration, when you want to interact and with people that are far away and you want to join them in a virtual environment. So this aspect of collaboration that we see, so we need to have awareness of what the others are doing. We need to have proper way to communicate with our partner. And you need also to be able to interact. And we'll see that collaborative interaction is complex, because as soon as you have several people acting on the same object, you could have conflict and issues of synchronization. But yeah, of course, today we will not come back on this thing. It was just a quick sum up. So the idea of this virtual collaborative virtual environment is that you need to share some virtual object. So it's a bit hard to see, but here you have several people working around a digital mockup in augmented reality, and these two people are remote. and can also see the same digital mockup. So you will need to synchronize this digital mockup in one hand, but you will need also to synchronize the avatar that represents the person and many other things. Here it's a bit similar in a virtual environment. You have people working on a CAD model, and you have also avatar that represents the remote user. So we will need to share some 3D objects, of course, like the digital mockup, which have different shape, texture, color, position, and we will need, of course, to synchronize all these attributes. We will need also to have 3D widgets that are synchronized, like a cursor, for example, or a virtual ray to show something to the other user. We need also to have some shared annotation. You can annotate the virtual environment, some data in the virtual environment to make it accessible to your remote partner. Some interaction tools, and of course, I was mentioning the avatar. You need also to have a proper synchronization of the avatar in both ends of your application. So this is what. So you need to share all these virtual objects, and you also need to interact together in real time. It means that you need to don't have any latency in the system when you interact. So I think I showed you last time this figure that represents a distributed virtual environment. So it means that at each end of the application, you have a user that will be immersed in a virtual environment, but he has his own device and he will run his own simulation. So each one will run a simulation of the virtual environment, and of course, if they want to have the feeling to share the same virtual environment, then you need to synchronize this simulation through the network. And this is what we will talk about today, how we can synchronize a virtual environment through the network to give the feeling to each user of the exact same state of the virtual environment. So for collaboration, we have two very strong requirements if we want to have an efficient collaboration. The first one is to have the exact same state of the virtual environment at the same time. If we want to work together on some virtual object, but that we cannot see at the same time the same state. So if, for example, I have two cubes and we want to work on these two cubes, it's a very simple task, but and one move it, and me on my side, I still see it at the original position. You understand that it's almost impossible to work together. So we need, when someone do something in the virtual environment, it needs to be transmitted as soon as possible to the other partner. So it's what we will call consistency of the virtual environment. Try to have a virtual environment as consistent as possible between all the users. The second thing is we want to modify the virtual object in real time. I talked a bit about that already. It means that we don't want to have delay when we act on a virtual environment. And we call this responsiveness of the system. Sometimes we can find the term reactivity, but I think responsiveness is good. It's when I ask for a modification, I want to have it as soon as possible. So if we want to define a bit more precisely what is consistency, and responsiveness, so I start first with consistency. We can see the distributed virtual environment like a very big database of virtual objects, but a big database of virtual objects that user will modify in real time. So you have this big database and many users modifying the database in real time. And the idea of consistency is try to manage the consistency to ensure that the database is the same for all the users. And you can have many inconsistencies that can occur because of concurrent modification. So we have one object and one user grab it and pull it in one direction, and the other grab it and pull it in another direction. So how you manage this concurrent modification? So this is one cause of inconsistency, and the second one is you have also some delay in the transmission. So one user grab an object and move it, and maybe the time to send this modification over the network, the other one will see move it with some delay, and this is also a second cause of inconsistency. And so, of course, we want to try to minimize as much as possible these inconsistencies. So for responsiveness, the idea is the responsiveness of the system is the time required by the system to respond to user action. So we can also call it latency during user interaction. So it's when I grab an object, I move it, and it follows with some delay. And so there is two things. So one thing is the latency. So I grab an object, it follows with some delay. And what is even worse is what we call jitter. So jitter is the variation of the latency. So I grab an object, it follows with some delay, but sometimes the delay will be small, sometimes the delay will be big. And this is the worst, because then user cannot really adapt to this delay. So they don't know what to expect. So they move an object, maybe it will follow quickly, maybe it will follow with some delay, and that's very annoying. So of course we need to minimize the latency, but the more important is also to have a consistent jitter, so have less variation as possible in the latency. So this, the time required to respond by the system to the user action could depend on many things. The first thing is you need some time to process and send user action. So if sometimes the computation of the modification is complex, it can take some time. And then you need to send it on the network. Then you need time to transmit this action of the network. We'll see that it's not always mandatory. Maybe sometimes you can perform the modification on the local computer of the user, but sometimes another computer will compute the modification for the user. So in that case, you need to ask the computer for the modification. So you will send data over the network. You will receive data in response. So this can take a lot of time. And the last thing is sometimes need time also to give a feedback to the user. So if I move an object, we need time to display this object moving. So it could also induce some delay. And we see that we can have delay at each level of the process. And as we talked maybe last time, so the latency in virtual environment has to be very short. So I put this to give you an idea. It's not absolute value, but we consider usually that the responsiveness should be between 40 milliseconds and 300 milliseconds. Like it's the range that is acceptable. So of course, 40 milliseconds, it's very good, but it's very hard to achieve. As soon as you have a network, you increase with network transmission, you will increase a bit this thing. And 300 milliseconds is really the maximum, because it starts to be very annoying to move object if you have some delay. So we consider like 100 milliseconds is the good thing to reach. It's a proper target. Usually, users don't really notice the latency if you have 100 milliseconds or less. If you have more, they start to notice it. And at 300 milliseconds, they start to find the latency very annoying. So we talk about consistency and responsiveness, and all the big issue of this distributed interactive system is to find a good trade-off between consistency and responsiveness, according, of course, to the task, to the application. And usually, these two things fight against each other. If you want to ensure a very good consistency, you will increase the responsiveness in the system. And in the meantime, if you want to ensure a very good responsiveness, you will introduce inconsistencies. So you really have to find a trade-off between these two things. So we have a lot of technical requirements when we design a virtual environment. So you need to connect remote computer, you need to distribute data, you need to share information, you need to manage concurrent access, as we talked a bit before. So each time you do a technical choice for this different technical requirement, you must consider both consistency and responsiveness and try to find the good solution that suit your needs about consistency and responsiveness. So I will show you again. I think I show you. Oh, that's very dark. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I don't know if it's a good idea to close a bit the windows. But I think it's good also to see a bit the sunlight. So, is it okay like that, or you prefer to close the curtain? I don't know what you think. It's okay. We'll
remember.
So this application was a remote collaboration between two users exploring some virtual data. It was seismic data, data from an earthquake, and they were manipulating together a cutting plane inside the data. And here you have a lot of issue because so of course the data, it's quite easy to synchronize because you load the data on both ends and that's fine. But then you are manipulating together this cutting plane. So you need to have a proper synchronization of the cutting plane, because if we don't see it at the same position, it's almost impossible to collaborate. And then you have also the avatar that you need to synchronize. And as for example here, so the data was loaded on both sides. So this is, like, we will see that there is several ways to distribute data, but this is one solution. But on the other hand, the cutting plane was computed on a server to ensure that both users have the same state of the cutting plane at the same time. But the issue is when you put this cutting plane on server, is that when you will introduce some delay when you will move the responsiveness, because you will have to ask the server to modify the location of the cutting plane and receive back an answer. So for that, they introduce some geometry that represents the hand of the user. And the user was grabbing, it was some small cube, grabbing the small cube to manipulate the cutting plane. And the small cube here, I compute on the local computer of the user to be sure that when he moves the hand, the cube really follows his hand. So you may have some inconsistencies between the cubes and the cutting plane, but that was hard to perceive, so it was like a trade-off that was acceptable, I think. So you see here that we already have a lot of complexity. The data are loaded on both sides. The cutting plane is managed by a server, and the hand of the user are managed by his own computer. So we have three different ways to manage the data here. So yeah, we'll see a bit more in detail how we can do that. So this is the outline of the class. So we will talk first about network architecture, so how we connect computers. We'll talk about data distribution, so we will see how we can distribute data on the different computers. And we'll see that this is different from network architecture, because sometimes we can have some mix between the different strategies that we can have here. Then we'll quickly talk about communication protocol dedicated to virtual reality. This is not very important here in the context of the CSCW class, so I will not focus too much on that. And then we'll talk about different mechanisms that can help to improve the performance of your application. So communication reduction and consistency management strategy. And in the last part, if we have time, we will quickly talk about software architecture and how you can design a proper architecture to implement this kind of system. So I start first with network architecture. So first, you have two very classic kind of network architecture. I'm sure you know them well. So I just mentioned them, and then I will talk more about what is interesting in this network architecture. So the first network, very classical network architecture, is a client-server architecture. So you can have one computer that will be the server that will handle all communication. So all communication will pass through the server, and this server will connect all computers. So as soon as one computer wants to contact another, the communication has to go through the server. So all communication will pass through the server, so you will have some latency during interaction, because it will delay the communication between computers. The advantage is that all nodes can be contacted quickly, because if you want to send a message to everybody, it's easy. You send it to the server, and the server will distribute it to everybody, so it's quite easy. but you have an issue because you have a bottleneck that can occur on the server. If you have many messages that need to pass through the server, it will of course be very complicated. And also, as soon as you have more users, it starts to be very complicated. If you have like 6 users here, it's manageable. But if you have 1,000 of users that are connected to the same server, it makes it very, very complicated. So you have to find a proper way to manage, in that case, the message transmission. Because as soon as one user sends a message, you need to send 1,000 of messages. That starts to be very, very complicated. So it works well for a small number of users, but then it's hard to scale up. So the second very classic network architecture is the peer-to-peer architecture. So in that case, so each computer is connected to all the other one. So as soon as you want to send a message to another computer, you have a direct link to this computer. So the good thing is you can have some very fast communication between two nodes. And it's very good for closely coupled interaction between a few users. So if we want to move an object together, it's very good because we will have a direct connection. And it will not have to go through a server, for example. So we will not have inconsistencies when we will move the object together. So this is a good point, but the bad point is that you have difficulties in that case to contact all the nodes at the same time. So if one computer wants to send a message to everybody, he will have to do it himself. So he will have to send the message to everyone, and that requires some computing power because you need to send the message. And it could also be difficult because sometimes you don't have the same speed in the connection among all the computers. So some computer could receive very quickly the connection, but some could take a lot more time to receive the connection. So consistency and synchronization are very hard to ensure in that case because you don't really know, you really have to send the message to everyone, and even if they are not, even if they don't need to receive this data, so it's a bit complicated. And you also have many messages that are transmitted over the network, because like as soon as you have one modification, you send it to everyone, and there is a lot of back and forth over the network. Just a small parenthesis about network data transmission. So you have several ways to do data transmission. The most classic one is unicast. So one computer can send data, maybe you know about that, but one computer can send to another computer. So this is the traditional one. If you are doing client-server architecture, you will use mainly unicast connection. The second one is broadcast connection, where you can send the data to everyone. So this is still quite easy to do. So you have a way on the network to send the data to everyone. And the last one is unicast. The good thing with unicast is you can select the computer to which you want to send the message, but it's a bit harder to implement, and that's not always easy to implement in some architecture. So client-server rely mainly on unicast, and peer-to-peer is more broadcast or multicast. So in addition to these two kinds of architecture, client-server and peer-to-peer, we can have some hybrid architecture. So I think I will give you two examples of hybrid architecture. So the first one is this one, where you have a kind of client-server architecture, but you have some additional peer-to-peer connection between several servers. So the idea here is that to not overload one computer, and it is sometimes used in some video game, you will have several servers that are connected together with peer-to-peer connection, and this each server will connect a part of the user. So not all the user, but just a sub-part of the user. So the good thing is you avoid these bottlenecks that we talk about on one single server, because you can balance a bit the the power that you need on each computer. It's also good because you can connect a node with some specific requirements. So for example, you can have a server that manages a mobile smartphone or mobile phone that have a wireless connection, so maybe a bit smaller. You could have a server that connects some computers that are very fast and have a very good connection, and so on. And you can, in this way, deal with several requirements from the different nodes. Oh yeah, in the meantime, I will call node here a computer. Like, when I will talk about node, it's one computer connected to the architecture, and I will talk a lot about nodes. That's why I want to clarify that this is what I call node here is just one computer. The issue, of course, of this architecture is that you will increase the latency of the system. So now if this computer wants to connect to this one here, you will have to have a first connection to the first server, then a connection between server 1 and server 2, and then a connection between server 2 and server 3. So you see, of course, as much as you add a computer in between two nodes, you will have more latency. Another example of hybrid architecture is this one, where you have also a client-server architecture, so that looks like that. But you can also establish some temporary peer-to-peer connection between two computers. So in this work here, the peer-to-peer connection were established according to the user location in the virtual environment. So we have a huge virtual environment where many people are traveling. And if they are very far away in the virtual environment, there is no need to have good synchronization among them. So you don't need to have anything done. But as soon as they are close, and they are, for example, if they are moving objects together, then you need to have a good synchronization between these two computers. So then you can establish some peer-to-peer connection among these two specific nodes. And you can have one peer-to-peer connection between two nodes, but you can also imagine doing it with more computers. So as here, we have three nodes that are connected together. So you increase the consistency between the nearby user by doing so. Of course, when they get far away again, you can disconnect the peer-to-peer connection to avoid to overload the network. So that's it for network architecture. This is not the main part of the class, but like just the important thing to understand that you have the two main types of client-server and peer-to-peer architecture, but you can also have some very hybrid connection, and that fulfills some very specific requirement of the application. Like here, the need of a good synchronization between users that are nearby in the virtual environment. So the next thing is data distribution. That is, we will see that it's slightly different than the network architecture. So the data distribution is that you have some virtual object in the virtual environment, and we saw that we want to share this virtual object among several users. So a virtual object is composed of two things. The first thing is a set of parameters, what we call data. So it's like usually one identifier to identify the object, some attributes like the position, the orientation, and a lot of some other things, like maybe the color of the object. You could have also a geometry or eventually texture for this object. So this object will have a shape, some texture in the virtual environment. And in addition, you can also have some access rights to this object that are also part of the data. So this is the first thing. So object has a lot of different data. And you also have a behavior. So the behavior is how the object behaves in the virtual environment. And you could have two kinds of behavior. So the first one is when the object is what we call only reactive. So it will only respond to user action. So this is like a standard object. A user can grab it and move it, but it will not do anything else in the virtual environment. And the second one is a continuous behavior. So it means that it's a behavior that evolves in the time. So it, a lot of objects could also have this continuous behavior. It could be, for example, when you are a video game, it could be sometimes you have some how we call that bot or the like the enemy you are that are managed by the computer. So this is like kind of object that will have a behavior given by the computer. So they will move together. They will move alone automatically. It could be I don't know, many things. For example, you have a tree and you have some leaf, and the leaf will move with the wind. And this is also not the user that will manage that. So it will have a behavior that makes the leaf move. So as soon as we have this object with data and behavior, and we have some very important question to respond for data distribution. So the first one is which computer will store the data? So we see that you have a lot of data. Sometimes it could be big data, like as soon as you have geometry or texture, it could be quite big. So you need to find a computer that will store this data. You need also a computer to manage the data modification. So we say that if you want to move an object, you will have to modify the position of this object. And in that case, of course, one computer needs to manage the data modification. And the last thing is you need to define which computer will also execute this behavior, especially if it's continuous behavior that evolve in time. You need one computer that executes the behavior. So I think you have some example of continuous behavior. So it could be, well, that again would be hard. So this is a kind of game with a player here, and you have some robots that are animated by the computer. So this is object with a continuous behavior. And of course, if you have a multiplayer game, you want to be sure that the robots are at the same position for everybody. Otherwise, it's quite complicated. So you need to synchronize the behavior of every object. The second thing here is it's some trees with a leaf. This is the example of the leaf moving. And this is also one computer has to manage that. And the last one, I don't remember, is a grass, some grass in a field. And of course, also each part of the grass is moving according to the wind. And the idea of here is just to show you that then the animation could be very complex because you need to animate all the grass, and sometimes it requires a lot of computing power to do the animation. So you don't want to put it everywhere or execututing the behavior could have some very strong requirement about computing power. So you should really take a good decision in where to put this computation. So you have several kind of data distribution. So the first one is what we call centralized data distribution, which means that you will have a server that will store all the data and that will also execute all the behavior. So in that case, you really rely on the server that stores the data and execute the behavior and just send update to the client that will just directly display, for example, the object. So in that case, all the data are managed by the server. So this is the most simple one. Now, if a user wants to modify an object, so we are here, one user wants to modify an object, he will have to send a modification request to the server that will modify the data and that will send update to the user who requires a modification, of course, but to all the users. And that's it. And so, of course, I think you see the next thing coming. So the advantages of this simple data distribution that it ensures a global consistency, because you only have one version of the data that are stored on the server, so you could have you don't have any different version of the data, so you really reduce the inconsistency. You avoid data replication because only the server stores the main data, and you also avoid to process the behavior on each client. So if it's a very complex behavior execution, it's better to do it on one computer that is usually designed for it, and not do it in all the computer of the client, because it can drop down the computing power in the computer. Of course, I think you see the drawbacks coming, is that you need to ask the modification to the server. So of course, it's introduced some latency during the interaction. So the modification request has to be transmitted to the server, computed on the server, and sent back to the user. And the second issue is that you will transmit many messages, of course, on the network with that, because for each step of the simulation, you need to send update message to all clients. Because it could be also an issue, because you really have a lot of traffic load. The second way to have the second kind of data distribution is the replicated data distribution. So the idea here is that the data is replicated on each node. Each node has its own local copy of the data. And each node executes the behavior of the object. So of course, if each one executes the behavior alone of the virtual object, you could have some inconsistency, because maybe some computer will be more powerful, so they will execute more quickly, or this kind of thing. So you need to have a synchronization mechanism to ensure that all the nodes are computing the behavior at the same time. The good thing of this architecture is, if you need to do a modification, that's quite easy, because you can compute the modification on your local computer and send it to the remote. Of course, you still need to send update message to the other computer. So the advantage is low latency interaction, because the interaction is managed locally on your computer. You just have a few messages transmitted, because if you don't have modification, you almost have no message, maybe a few synchronization messages to send, but not that much. And you only send message when you have some specific modification done by the user. So this is the advantages, but the drawback is, of course, you have to duplicate the data on all computers, which means it's a bit like a shame, because you are copying the data on every computer, which could be a bit annoying, especially if the data are very big. The behavior is processed also on each node, so it's also a bit a loss of computing power, because each computer is doing the same thing, which is a bit an issue. And you can have some inconsistency due to transmission delay of update message. So for example, if the modification is processed here very quickly, but that the transmission is not very fast from the update, here it will have a different state between this computer and this computer, because of the time to transmit the modification. And you also need additional mechanism to manage concurrent access, because as soon as the data are computed locally, it means that two users can modify the data at the same time on their own computer, and they will discover the issue only when they will send an update message. So I can move an object, grab it, but maybe on the other time, another user can grab an object and move it in another direction. And it's working, but then when you send update message, and you figure out that two users have moved the object in different direction, and this is an issue. So the third data distribution is an hybrid data distribution again, where only so I think this is a first example of hybrid data distribution. So in this one, only the necessary objects are replicated. So it means that on one computer, you don't have the full virtual environment, but you just have the necessary object. So it's maybe a bit hard to see, but for example, this computer only have one object, while this one have a different object. And it's fine. And if we think about a big virtual environment where several users are in a different place, maybe they don't need to have the exact same state of the full virtual environment, They need to have the good state for the room where they are or the place where they are. And they don't need to have the full version of the virtual environment. So they could have only one subpart of the virtual environment, and that's enough. The issue in that case is that you usually need a server to save the whole state of the virtual environment, because at least one people, so one computer, need to have the copy of the full virtual environment, and so usually you need to include a server for that. So the advantage is that you reduce a lot the data replication, because you just have the necessary object, and you reduce also the processing power required on each node, because you only compute the objects that are necessary to you. The drawback is that it's then even more difficult to ensure the consistency and manage the concurrency, because you need to keep a track of which computer own which object to be able to tell them when these objects are modified. So it's very complex in terms of managing the track of which computer own which object. And this is quite complex. You could have also many messages transmitted over the network, because as soon as you modify an object, you need to sometimes, for example, ask the server to know which computer has this object, then send the modification to this computer, and it's really increasing the number of messages on the network. And you also need sometimes to have some dynamic download of additional objects. So if you move in the virtual environment, you will maybe have to load more objects in runtime. We could be also a bit difficult and could also overload the network, because if you need to load a lot of objects at the same time, it could break a bit the simulation. And the second example of data distribution is a lot of people now are using a referent proxy paradigm. Sometimes we talk about referent mirror paradigm. So the idea here is to have a mix between centralized and replicated. In each node, you have a kind of version of the virtual object, but it could be different. So if you have a referent, it means that you are the core part of the object. So your referent stores the data, defines the behavior, and process the modification. So it's a bit like if you are the server. And if you have a proxy, it's only receive update, and update object representation in the virtual environment, and you don't store the data. So it's like just a shadow object, I would say. And you can have one or the other, but not both of them. So then usually you will have only one computer that has the referent. So the referent we will store on one computer that will store the data and execute the behavior. It's a bit what you have sometimes in video games, where one will own the server, and so he will run the data and execute the main behavior and just send update to the other one. So in that case, you need to send update message to all the computer. And if you need to do a modification, you have two subcases. The first one is the user who want to achieve the modification on the referent. In that case, the modification will be processed locally and update message we send to the user. So this is the easiest solution. The second subcases is when you want to do, when the user that who want to achieve the modification have a proxy, he don't have the data locally, so he cannot achieve the modification locally. So he will have to send a modification request to the one that own the referent, and will wait for update from this computer. So it's a bit similar to a server client architecture, but here one computer is the kind of server here. So the advantage of this kind of hybrid architecture is that it ensure a global consistency because you still have one version of the data stored on one computer, so you don't have many versions, so you don't have inconsistencies. You have an implicit management of the concurrent access because the ones that own the referent can check the concurrent access modification request. You can combine the processing power of several computers because we'll see that later, but for one object you could have one computer that owns a referent, but for another object it could be another computer. So in this way you can spread referent across different computers and combine the processing power of several computers. And you can also reduce latency when the user interacts directly with the referent. So when a user who owns the referent wants to modify the object, it's quite easy because the modification is done locally. It's the case we saw here. The drawback is like, as in the client-server architecture, you have many messages transmitted over the network, and you increase the latency when the user wants to interact with the proxy because it has to send a modification request. But we will see maybe later that in that case, we can have some migration mechanism that bring back the referent on the computer of the one that we want to interact. And in that case, you don't have this issue of asking someone to do the modification for you. So as I was saying before, it's very important to understand that the data distribution and the network architecture are slightly different, and you can have some mix between two solutions. So they don't have to be the same. So of course, if you have a centralized data distribution, you need a server. So it's more adapted to server-client architecture. But replicated data can be used with the client-server architecture. So for example, some video game will have replicated data, so everybody will load the data at the beginning of the session. But then the synchronization will be done through a client-server architecture. So we see here that we can have a mix. So replicated data could be done with client-server architecture. Of course, replicated data, it's easy to do with peer-to-peer architecture. And centralized data can also be achieved with peer connection. So even if you have peer-to-peer connection between computers, you could have one server acting as a peer that stores the data. So it could be also a possibility. So it's important to understand that this is two different things. How you connect computers and where you store data are two different questions. So of course, there is some link sometimes, but that doesn't have to be exactly the same thing. Just to sum up this, so there is some solutions that exist for data distribution that make a trade-off between consistency and responsiveness, and that meet particular requirements. The issue is that some are good for consistency, some are good for responsiveness, and they meet some particular requirements. But if you want a generic solution, it would be interesting sometimes to combine the advantage of each solution. We saw that centralized data distribution is good for consistency, replicated data distribution is good for responsiveness, and it would be interesting to be able to mix these different kind of strategy, and to adapt also this data distribution for each object. So we can imagine that it would be interesting to have some data distribution for each object. So for example, some objects that require a good consistency could be use the client-server architecture, and some that have that need a good responsiveness could be processed locally. So you can adapt like that the data distribution for each object. So according to the application requirement, the network capability, but also the task performed by the user and the function that the object fulfill in the virtual environment. So for example, I was talking about the leaf of the tree. This maybe doesn't need a good consistency. If the leaf are not at the exact same position for all the user, that's not a big deal. So this could be processed maybe on the local computer of each user, maybe even without synchronization. Because if the leaf is like that or like that for a user, that's not a big deal. But if we are moving an object together, this one, we need to have a good synchronization. So in that case, this one maybe need to be processed by a server to ensure that we see the exact same position of this object. So for that, we have proposed an adaptative data distribution that is based on a referent proxy paradigm, but that can implement the three modes of data distribution. So the centralized, replicated, and the hybrid one. And the good thing here is that in this solution, you can choose independently for each object which kind of data distribution you want. And you can also change dynamically during the session the data distribution. So I will show you some examples. So for the three modes of distribution, so you can have a replicated mode of data distribution. So for that, it's easy. You just put a referent on all the nodes. So each one owns a referent in that case, which is not very usual, but I think this is a good way to have a replicated data distribution. And in that case, if a user wants to interact with an object, he can achieve locally the modification. And so of course, you need some time here to process the modification. So this is time in this axis. So you need some time to process the modification. And you will send then an update to the other computer. So you have some transmission over the network and some time to process the update. So in that case, the interaction latency is just here. So if your computer is fast and it will process very quickly the modification, so you have almost a nil interaction latency. Maybe just a few milliseconds, the time to process the computer. The gap in consistency will be the time of the transmission over the network. So it's around one time the network latency. So here it's latency for lat for network latency. So here the really advantage is you have a very good responsiveness. So you have almost no interaction latency. Now, if you want to implement a centralized data distribution, so you put a referent on a server and proxies on the other node. So here, you really have the centralized mode. So in that case, when a user processes a modification, so you have, of course, a very small computing time here because you just need to send a message. You send the message to the server saying, I want to modify this object. The server process the modification request and send update to all the nodes. So here, if you check for the interaction latency, it's quite huge because you need two times to send message on the computer. So in that case, the interaction latency is almost two times the network latency. So of course here I consider that the processing time is quite small compared to the network latency, and it's what is usually done in practical. The processing time is very fast, like a few milliseconds, but the network transmission it's much longer, like 15 milliseconds and 100 milliseconds, which is very big compared to the processing time. So then, if you check at the gap in consistency between the two computers that are involved in this simulation, it's almost null if they have the same kind of connection. Of course, if they have different kind of connection, maybe one can receive faster the message. But yeah, usually they have kind of similar network connection. So in that case, what is good is you have a very good consistency, because you only receive a message from the server. And now if we want to implement the hybrid mode, it's we can put a referent on one particular node, and that way we implement the hybrid mode, where we have a referent on one node and proxy on the other one. And now if we check interaction and latency and gap inconsistency, so if a user wants to modify an object here, it will be processed locally if he owns the referent, so that's quite easy. And he will send update to the other computer involved in the simulation. So this is one solution. The second possibility that you have is the ones that want to modify the object only as a proxy. And in that case, he has to send a message to the one who owns the referent here. So in that case, the modification is processed by the referent and update message are sent to the proxy. So if we check, the interaction latency is almost null if we interact with the referent, and two times the network latency, exactly as the same in the centralized data distribution, if we interact with the proxy. And the gap inconsistency is also not always the same. Between referent and proxy, it could be one time the network latency, like here, for example, because he has done the modification and it still needs to wait, like the network latency, to receive the modification. So this is one time. But between all the other computers involved in the simulation that own proxies, in that case, it's almost null because they will receive. They will receive the update message quite at the same time. So the advantage here is you have a good trade-off between responsiveness and consistency. So the first thing that I was saying is that it's very good because you can have a heterogeneous data distribution. Some object could pick one data distribution, while some other could pick another data distribution. And so you can have a different consistency and responsiveness trade-off for each object. So according to the function that object fulfill in the virtual environment, for example, if you have an object like this one where you need very precise manipulation, it's very better to compute it locally on your own local computer. So you can use, for example, the hybrid mode where the referent is on your computer, then you can directly interact with this object very easily and with no latency. Then if you have an object that is shared between all users, so for example the avatar, you want that all users see the avatar at the same position, then maybe the centralized data distribution mode is better. And then I was giving this example about the leaf of the tree. In that case, this is maybe better to put it on a replicated mode where each computer manages his own version of the tree, and it's not a big deal if it's not properly synchronized. The second thing is you can also, it's what I was saying here, you can choose the distribution mode at the object level, so each object can independently have either a referent or a proxy for some object. So for example, the server here could have some referent, but also some proxies. The first computer could have three referents and three proxies, and the same here. So in that way, we can see that, for example, object one here and here is in a replicated mode. Object two here is in a centralized mode because the server owns the referent on the other node as proxy, and the three is in a hybrid mode where only node one as a referent and the server on the node two as a proxy, and so on. So you could have really a mix between between the data distribution of the object. And each object in that way have a particular data distribution mode. The second thing is you may want also to change during the simulation the data distribution. during a work session to balance and to adapt the data distribution according to several things, like for example the task that user perform in a virtual environment or network trouble. For example, if you have trouble in breaks in the network, maybe you can bring back all data on the user computer to let him interact, still interact, even if the data is the network is very slow. And when the network will come back, maybe you can resynchronize object among user. And for example, if you are doing a closely coupled interaction, like these two users are moving together an object, then you need a very good synchronization, and maybe this object could be put on a server when they interact together, but then it could come back to another data distribution mode. So if I come back on my example, you can dynamically change the data distribution for all the nodes, thanks to the ability to move the referent among nodes. So for example, you can dynamically migrate the referent to change. So for example, if you have, you can put the referent on the server to move on the centralized mode. So I think I have an example for that. So here, yeah, you have the referent and you move it on the server. So in that way, you switch to centralized mode. You could be also, if you have a replicated mode with three objects replicated, you can just remove the referent on the node and you switch also to centralized mode. You can duplicate the referent of all the nodes to move to the replicated mode. So for example, for the two here, you duplicate the referent, then you move in the replicated mode. Or in five here, you duplicate the referent to move to the replicated mode. You can also move the referent from one node to another. If you are in the hybrid mode, you can change it. So for example, I think three here, you can change it to here, so that you are still in the hybrid mode, but with the referent on another computer. Okay, so I think that's it for data distribution. I think we will quickly talk about communication protocol, and maybe we can do a small break after that. So the communication protocol used in that case, you could have very different kind of protocol. So of course, you will always be using the classical protocol like TCP or UDP, but sometimes you will have some additional layer that will help you to manage a virtual object and deal with some specific requirements. So in addition to the standard communication protocol like TCP, UDP, and so on, you could have a multicast oriented protocol that help you to connect, to contact some specific computer on the network. So the issue of this multicast oriented protocol is that they are very difficult to achieve over a large network. So they are not used if you have a huge number of users, but they could be used for smaller collaborative sessions. So if you want to implement a multicast oriented protocol, usually you need an additional network layer in addition to TCP and UDP. So for example, M-Bone was proposed to manage multicast. You could also have some virtual reality dedicated protocol, like RTP is adapted for real-time interaction. RTP-I is an adaptation of the RTP protocol, but for interaction. So it can improve the streaming of modification request, action of the object, and this kind of thing. I don't want to go too deep into the technical detail of this protocol, but just to give you an overview. The last one is VRML, that goes for Virtual Reality Modeling Language. It's a kind of HTML for a virtual object, where you can model and easily transmit a virtual object over the network. And there is a bunch of others, but yeah, I don't want to go too deep into the thing. you could also have some protocol specific in the industrial environment. So especially when you want to synchronize a virtual environment over a firewall or other industrial environment, it could be quite complex. So you need usually to deal with standard access to internet, a firewall that support sometimes only HTTP or HTTPS. So then you need to have sometimes some specific protocol to manage this kind of constraint. And the last thing is you can also have more generic standards that start to be used, like VRPN is a virtual reality peripheral network that is more and more common to send virtual reality data from device. And OSC that was designed at the beginning for sound control, just to send sound messages to some interface. But it's quite interesting and could be used in a more broad context to modify to control and to synchronize some virtual environment. So yeah, that's it. I don't want to go too deep into detail of communication protocol. So I think we can do a small break and then we will continue on the mechanism to improve. To reduce communication and improve consistency.